So, right. My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
So, I got asked to speak on this panel a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't really get a good sense of what it was about, but I thought it was kind of cool because I've never heard of it before, which is legal drink. And originally, I was told that it was like fitting in Waipa when you only had a legal drink. And that was kind of cool to me, so I'm probably going to do mostly that. My experience with alcohol before I turned 20 was pretty much of the variety of I really can't stand alcohol, mostly the taste, because I didn't drink enough to get the feeling that was brought upon when I actually started like excessively drinking alcohol. The main example I have of that is a dinner that I had when I was 16 with my stepfather. We had this like beautiful dinner at a great restaurant with sparkling cider, and I told my stepfather, wait a second, this is wine, this isn't sparkling cider, why'd you give me this? And he's like, no, it's apple juice. And I'm like, no, it's definitely wine. So he called the waiter over, and the waiter brought the bottle, and the bottle was one proof apple cider, which is 0.5% alcohol, and nobody in their right mind would have known that it had any alcohol in it except for me, because even when I don't have the effect produced by alcohol, I have this innate, and yeah, it is innate and innate, sense of what alcohol is, and you know, I didn't know what it would do to me at that point, but I knew it was there. So I fast forward until I'm 21 and a half years old, and I've had a few drinks here and there, but I don't like the taste of alcohol, so I really don't try it very much. I started working at a place called Two Pesos, which is a Mexican restaurant, which has strawberry and lime margaritas frozen on tap, which is like the greatest thing ever, by the way. And, you know, even if you don't like the taste of alcohol, a strawberry margarita does not taste like alcohol. And trust me, it has a lot more alcohol than that cider that I didn't like 5 years before. And I worked the overnight shift. So, you know, alcohol stopped being served at 1 o'clock and we would clean out the machine, but you wouldn't want to waste the alcohol, right? So we got the big giant 44-ounce like cups and we filled them with strawberry or lime margarita, whichever one we felt like. And then we would drive home and drink them on the way home because, you know, it's in a 44-ounce drink cup. Even if a police officer sees it, no problem, right? Luckily, it wasn't ever a problem, but it sure could have been. So, you know, and from then on, I became a full-blown alcoholic, like starting off drinking 44-ounce strawberry margaritas on the drive home isn't an example. And eventually I got here. I spent more time out there than most people in Waipa have probably been alive at this point. It took me like 18 years to get sober. So I came in here at 40 and a half, and I joined Waipa. And the reason I joined Waipa is because you guys had what I wanted, and that's what the big book told me. I read the first 164 pages once. The reason is because I quickly identified myself as the intellectual type. And I knew that if I tried to understand the program, that it would not work for me because I would try to find a loophole until I drank or did something else that was equally bad for me. So I did remember that. Find something that you want and go there. So I went to a meeting called the 1008 in Phoenix. It's probably one that a lot of people have heard of. It's notorious more than famous. And I sat there for the first 6 weeks, approximately, in the same chair in the middle of the room. There's bathrooms, like, behind a wall. There's a little kitchenette and bathrooms. And at the time, that's all I knew was there. And people would go back to go to the bathroom, and then they would never come back. And I thought they were disappearing into nothingness. And I was like, what's going on here? And for 6 weeks, I would come in, they would disappear. I would leave out the same door I came in for 6 weeks, and I didn't know what was going on. And one day, the parking lot in front was full, so I drove around to the back, and there's a back door! And people are smoking and talking, and I'm like, oh my God, that's where they were going all this time. And and that's kind of when I came to and started, like, participating in my recovery. I was, you know, 2 weeks away from graduating my outpatient program at Banner, and things were kind of sort of starting to look up. But I didn't really associate, you know, young people's from any other AA, because really young people's is all I knew. I went to some meetings that weren't WIPA, but the majority of my meetings were. I went to the 1008 7 days a week, and I went to 10 meetings a week, and two of them were regular meetings, and eight of them were young people meeting. So Christmas, my first year sober, my sobriety date is October 3rd, 2010. So I was 2.5 months, a little more than 2.5 months sober. I didn't talk to my kids. I didn't talk to anybody I knew that day. I basically just sat in my apartment with a roommate that I hated, who was also sober. Sober about 4 months longer than me, and was basically about to be homeless. And, you know, I had lost my kids, so I had a two-bedroom apartment and nothing to do. So he asked me if he could stay with me, and I said sure. And of course, when you're just getting sober, by definition, your character defects are going to clash, and there are going to be issues. We both grew a lot through that 18 months we were together. But anyway, back to Christmas. I went to the 1008, and, you know, I wasn't feeling my best because, you know, it was Christmas, and I hadn't talked to a single soul, and I basically sat in my room and done absolutely nothing all day. And I got to the meeting, and it was a pretty good meeting. You know, there was only 15 or 20 people there, which is really small for a 1008. And like six of us went to Denny's afterwards. And one of the people that I really respected went with us. And she was a master's level substance abuse counselor who was sober for 4 years at the time. She got sober during her master's program. And we went down to Denny's, and we were talking for a little while, and she's like, so how old are you? And I said, no, I'm 40. And she's like, that figures. I'm like, you're going to have to explain that because I don't understand it. And so, you know, later on when a couple of the people like went away and it was just three of us at the table, she's like, well, whenever it seems like whenever I'm interested in somebody, it turns out they're over 40. And that kind of like made my life at that point. I mean, I could say that it made my Christmas or it made my day, but you know, it's Christmas. I haven't talked to anybody all day. I'm feeling like alone and empty. And like this person that I think is amazing that I, you know, we've talked a few times, but that's it, like expresses interest in me when I'm like 2.5 months sober. And, you know, I just fell in love with WIPA. I mean, I can't say I really fell in love with her at that time, but because everything is an opportunity in young people's that I found. I spent 2.5 years almost every day going to that meeting. I got my first service commitment through that meeting, which has turned into, you know, general service commitment because it was H&I, and now I take a meeting in every week, and now I'm the co-chair of H&I in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, and it all grew from that. And the beautiful thing about young people's is, if you stay sober, you can see why and get reasons to stay sober. Because I can't count the number of young people that came to the 1008 that went out and came back 2 weeks later or 2 months later, some cases 2 years later. And I could see how they looked when they went out. I could see how they looked when they came in. I saw the newcomers when they came in. I saw how they improved over time. And young people are way more resilient in general than mainstream AA. If you go to a regular meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, closed usually, you know, you'll see a whole bunch of like 40, 50, 60-year-old people. And the newcomers, they don't look very good, and they don't get better very fast, and they don't have a whole bunch of fun doing it. But when you're in young people's, you go in, and it's like the first day you're there, they invite you out to go play pool, or they invite you out to Denny's, and you just sit and you talk all night long, and you go to bed at 4 a.m, absolutely exhausted, and you get up and you go to work the next day, and it's like the best experience that you'd ever had. And when they stay sober, it's like amazing. You're like, you know, if that kid can do it, then I can do it. And, you know, when they go out and come back and you see them and they tell you that story of just how absolutely demoralizing it was for them 20 years before you, like, if it's horrible for them and they're like 20, I can only imagine how bad it would be for me at 40. And it gave me the experience, strength, and hope that I needed. It didn't matter if they were less sober than me. It didn't matter if they were more sober than me mentally or in time. You know, the maturity level didn't matter. There was a connection because we're all alcoholics. And I wanted to grow. And it didn't matter that, you know, you're 23 and I'm 40, or you're, you know, in the case of the girl in question, she's 27 and I'm 40. That didn't matter. You know, the relationship didn't last. We became great friends. We hung out together. We did a half marathon together. We cooked together. She gave me my 9-month chip in the Grand Canyon. We hiked down 7 miles together. And it was amazing. You know, we never held hands. We never did anything but meeting hug because, you know, she had 4 years sober and she's a substance abuse counselor and I don't have a year sober yet. So, you know, like 2 weeks before I got my year chip, we started dating and, you know, she kissed me at the time. She gave me my 1 year chip in the meeting and every, like, half the meeting knew and half the meeting was shocked out of their minds. And it was great. And 4 weeks later, she broke up with me and I went crazy for about 3 weeks because, you know, right after you get a year, you have to go crazy. I just had a better reason than most people. but it wasn't just that. And if it wasn't for that meeting, I wouldn't have stayed sober. You know, sure, the girl broke up with me. Within a month of the girl breaking up with me, 3 weeks before, 1 week after, I got put on final warning at my work for excessive use of the internet because I would spend 4 hours a day looking up sports stuff. And I work for a government contractor and they don't like that for some reason. I got in a car accident. You know, I went around a curve and that was like a 25 mile an hour curve going 50 and I hit a piece of rubber in the road and my car turned around 450 degrees and slammed into the concrete and that was no fun. And I got a speeding ticket and, you know, like all of this stuff was happening right around a year sober and I went crazy. I snapped. And a girl that's still a great friend of mine, she actually invited me to her baby shower like 10 minutes before this thing. She like talked to me, I should say. She let me talk at her for like 30 minutes at a time, just blabbering like an idiot. And when it was done, she's like, "So how do you feel about that? You know, how's that working for you?" And I'm like, "It's really not." And it took me 2 weeks to realize that, you know, because it's not, I should probably get over it. But when I did get over it, I honestly haven't freaked out about anything since then. And, you know, it was a young people's meeting and the experience of what all of the young people around me were going through, coming in, going out, needing to drink, not needing to drink, having stories, bringing in new stories after coming back from a relapse, that kept me sober. And I honestly don't think that I would be sober. I definitely wouldn't be, you know, outside of jail and possibly wouldn't be alive today if it weren't for young people's. And I absolutely love everything about WIPA. I love throwing conferences. I love being of service. And I'm moving up. You know, I'm doing the things that I could only dream of doing before I got sober. I didn't have friends, much less could I throw a conference. Give me a break. And today I've got all of that and more. I've got a healthy relationship for the first time in my life. I have my 1 year anniversary in 10 days. And, you know, I'm going to the beach for 5 days for my first anniversary. I've been married before. I've never gone to the beach for 5 days on an anniversary. That's never happened. So the opportunities that I've had in Alcoholics Anonymous have been great, and my choices have always been do it with the people who you want something from, and that's always been the young people. And that's what I've got, and thanks very much for letting me share.